Chapter 37. A quote from The Origin, The Fables of the Baron. But it was the third brother who commanded the sky to surrender its greatest power, who finally vanquished his jealous siblings at a great and terrible price. I whip around in the saddle and see Avenin, the one who killed Soleil, distended branch-like veins spreading from her red eyes, grasping the sword she stabbed in between Tern's scales and the area behind his wings. There's Avenin on your back, I shout at Tern as the Avenin whips a ball of fire toward my head. It comes so close that I feel the singe of heat along my cheek. Tern rolls, executing a dizzying climb that throws my weight back into the saddle, and yet the Venon holds fast, grabbing on to the embedded sword as her feet fly out from under her. The second Tern levels off, the Venon stares at me like I'm her next meal, striding for me with nothing but resolve in her eyes and fisting serrated green-tipped daggers. Three more riderless ones on my tail, Tern shouts. Fuck. There's something I'm missing. It's taunting me from the edge of my mind, like the answer to a test I know I've studied for.
Aren't you a little small for a dragon rider?
The Venon hisses. Big enough to kill you. Tern and I are dead if I don't do something. I need you to stay level, I tell Tern, unbuckling my thigh straps. You will not unseat, Tern growls. I won't let her kill you. I climb to my feet and unsheathe the two daggers Zayden gave me today. Every challenge, every obstacle, every hour Imogen spent in the weight room, every single time Zayden has taken me to the mat has to be worth something, right? This is just a challenge with a not-so-fictitious dark wielder on the parapet. A moving, flying parapet. Get back in your seat, Tern orders. You can't shake her. She'll cut into you again. I have to kill her. I shove the fear aside. There's no room for it here. By the dying sunlight and the eerie glow of the burning city below us, I dodge the first swipe of her knife, then the second, ducking low and throwing up my forearm to block a downward thrust, halting the plunge of metal jabbing toward my face. The force of impact results in a snap I know is one of my bones. Excruciating pain momentarily freezes me as the dagger flies out of my hand. I'm down to only one. My heart pounds as my feet catch on one of Tern's spikes, and I stumble. I can't even cradle my ruined, throbbing arm as she advances, gaining on me with every lunge and swipe of her green-tipped daggers. It's as if she knows exactly what I'm going to do before I do it. She counters every one of my attacks with a quicker one of her own, as if she's adapting to my fighting style from mere moments of combat. She's unnaturally quick. I've never seen Zayden or Imogen move this fast. I manage to parry each of her attacks, but there's no question that I'm on the defense. She's not even in leathers, just a fluttering sail of a robe, and still, pain flares in my side, hot and sharp, and I fall back in disbelief when I find one of her daggers protruding low in my side, just beneath the edge of the dragon scale armor. Tern roars and Andarna shrieks. Violet! Zayden screams. She's too fast! I doubt the dagger has struck anything vital from its position, and I fight through mouth-watering nausea to balance the only Venon blade I have left and yank hers out. But something isn't right. The wound begins to burn, and I immediately battle to keep my balance as acid races through my veins. The tip of the knife is no longer green as it falls from my fingers.
Such untapped power. No wonder we were called here. You could command the sky to surrender all its power, and I bet you don't know what to do with it, do you? Riders never do. I'm going to split you open and see where all that astonishing lightning comes from.
She waves the other dagger at me, and I realize she's playing with me.
Or maybe I'll let him do it. You'll wish for death if I hand you over to my sage.
She has a teacher? She's a damn student, just like me, and I'm lethally outmatched. I can barely keep track of which hand her blade is in. My arm has its own heartbeat, and my side screams. Level the playing field, Zayden orders. He split his power, and shadows rush in from the cliffs at my left, throwing the world around me and the Venon into a cloud of complete darkness. And I have the power of light. I'm the one in control now, and I know the terrain of Tarn's back like my own hand. Moving to the right, where I can feel the slope of his shoulder, I take up a fighting stance, grip my dagger in my good hand, and let my power explode through the dark, illuminating the sky for one crackling, priceless second. The Venon is disoriented, her back turned toward me. I plunge the rune dagger between her ribs, right where Zayden showed me all those months ago, and yank it out so I don't lose it. She staggers backward, her face turning an ashen gray before she falls from Taryn's back. I falter, swaying as the acid in my veins burns brighter, harsher, incinerating me from the inside out. She's dead, I manage to tell them, throwing the word out toward Taryn, Zayden, and Darna, Sigail, whoever might be listening. The shadows fall away, letting in the fading light of dusk as I stumble toward the saddle, holding my side to staunch the flow of blood from the stab wound. You're hurt, Tarn accuses. I'm fine, I lie, staring with wide eyes as dark black blood sludges through my fingers. Not good. So not good. I won't be able to fight another in hand to hand, not with the wound in my side, and soon I'll be too weak to wield. The strength is flowing out of me with my blood. I sheathe the dagger. My best weapon now is my mind. Taking a deep breath, I fight to steady my heartbeat and think. They're falling, Tarn says, and I jerk my gaze from my side to see three wyvern tumble from the sky and crash to the earth. Riderless wyvern, created by Venon. And they all died because I killed one Venon. That's what Liam was trying to tell me. When a dragon dies, so does its rider. But apparently when a Venon dies, so do the wyvern they created. All of them. That's how we can save everyone on this battlefield. There are two riders among the horde Zayden is holding back. We have to take out the riders, I whisper. Yes, Tarn agrees, following my thoughts. Excellent idea. You're willing to gamble your life on it? If I'm wrong, we're both dead, and so are Zayden and Sigail. I will bet my life on you, as I have from the first day, he says, banking to fly back to the valley as the other dragons rush with their riders to follow us, no doubt following Tarn's command. Only Garrick and his brown scorpion tail are ahead of us, flying low and fast toward Zayden. Three of the Venon are dead, but one is... I watch in horror as a Venon with a staff as tall as he is strides out of the darkness, his menacing gaze locked on Zayden. To the left! I scream at Zayden. Sigail spins and blasts fire at the Venon, but he doesn't so much as pause. Garrick leans from his seat and flings a dagger, but before it can reach the Venon, the robed figure slams his staff into the ground and disappears like he was never there in the first place. He moved, but to where? The hell? I shout into the wind. A general can recognize another general, and that's their leader, Tarn says. The sage. I can't hold them back much longer, Zayden yells, his arms shaking so hard it looks like his body is tearing itself apart at the very seams as we rush toward the mouth of the valley. New plan, I tell Zayden as Tarn pushes himself to the max. I need you to let the shadows fall. What? He's already wavering. I can see it by the straining shapes against his shadows. Wyvern desperate to push their way through. So much suffering. The hurt in Andarna's voice jars me. I whip my head back toward the trading post and catch the glint of gold. My heart seizes. No, it's not safe for you here. You need me, she yells. Please hide. One of us has to survive, I tell her as Tarn flies past Zayden and Sigail. Zayden, you have to drop the shadows. It's the only way. Tarn! Sigail shouts, fear edging her tone in a way I've never heard. Don't ask that of me. Even Zayden's voice shakes. Those shadows are coming down whether or not he wants them to. He's approaching burnout. If you've ever trusted me, Zayden, I need you to do it now. I use his earlier words, barely breathing through the searing pain in my side. He'll lose himself to burnout if he doesn't trust me. Fuck! In a blink, the wall of shadow falls, and the wyvern fly toward us with terrifying speed. If I can't do this, no one will survive. There are too many of them. Spot the more powerful rider, Tarn. It's the best bet, the only bet. We're a minute away from a collision. Once I've taken the rider out, that only leaves one, Zayden. Just kill that one and the rest of the wyvern will fall. I'm coming. But I'll get there first. Tarn is faster than Sigail. You saved us by holding them back this long. When he starts to respond, I slam my shield down, blocking him out to concentrate. Tarn's head swivels left and right, searching. And I break apart the last of my archive's walls, keeping one foot firmly on that marble floor. There, Tarn says, his head turned to the right. That one. At the corner of the flying horde is a seated Venon, crimson veins streaking his temples and traveling down his cheeks. You're sure? I ask. Positive. Blue fire erupts from the horde, and I barely draw breath before a torrent of shadows rises from the edges of the valley, snuffing out the flame. Power ripples in my bones, vibrating my very being with the amount of energy I'm forcing my body to contain. Tell me your plan isn't to try to jump on the wyvern's back, Tarn asks as my breath hitches. Just a few more seconds and we'll be close enough. I don't have to, I tell him. Didn't you hear what the Venon said? I can command the sky to surrender all its power, but I'm going to need every ounce of yours to do it. I unleash my signet and strike once, missing the wyvern, then again, missing once more. They're almost on us as I strike again and again, pushing myself to the limit as Zayden smothers the blue flames before they have a chance to burn me alive. I can't aim. I'm not ready. Maybe if I had another year or two to practice, but not now. I need more, Tarn!
You will burn out, Silver One, he growls, dodging a flame Zayden misses. You already walk the edge!
My arms shake as I lift them again. This is the only way I can save them. I can save Sigail. You just have to decide to live, Tarn, even if I don't.
I will not watch another rider die because they do not know their own limitations. One more strike could be your last. I feel your waning strength.
I know exactly what I'm capable of.
I promise as energy fills my body once again and my heart jolts, struggling to find the right rhythm. Hot. I'm so damned hot. I feel like I could burst into flame myself. I've taken too much power.
I'm not Naolin.
Fear threatens to consume me as the Venon rides at us, close enough that I see his snarling mouth. But it's not my terror. It's Tarn's.
Let me help, Andarna shouts, and my heart swells even as it stutters from the energy flowing through my veins. I don't have time to look to see where she is. I only hope she's still in the outpost. Only what I need, I say to her. I swallow hard, my good hand clutching the blood-tipped dagger as we fly toward the wall of wyvern. I reach for her golden power, and it spreads down my spine and explodes through me, time pausing around us. Tarn flares his wing, bringing us to a hover as the wyvern move toward us, inch by precious inch, fighting against Andarna's magic with their own. I have to want to kill that Venon, and gods help me, I do.
No!
I push my arm toward the Venon and command lightning to split the sky, and it does, branching out in every direction. But I only need to control one of its silver-blue veins. I focus on the one closest to the Venon, bringing it down in slow bursts that defy time. My arms vibrate, and I feel Tarn's power push the boundaries of my body as I yank the branch sideways in its descent, inch by inch, with the last of my strength, positioning it over the Venon. More, Tarn! He roars, and lightning itself rips through me, sizzling my lungs and charring my very breath as Andarna's gift ebbs. I don't have to be near her to feel her fatigue, her strength ebbing, but I only take what I need. Andarna will live today, even if she is the only one. I have only a few heartbeats, or this much power will burn through me and take me under. Zayden screams through the barrier in my mind, and the sounds of his anguish and fear are nearly more than I can bear. But there's no time to focus on him, to wonder what will happen if I don't succeed, because right now, I am focused on vengeance with a coldness that would make even my mother proud.
Finally, dragging the lightning down into place as my skin sizzles and burns, I release time and hold myself upright long enough to see it strike true, killing the venom at the first touch of its energy. As if time were still frozen, his body slowly topples from the top of his wyvern. In the next breath, more than half the monsters fall from the sky as if they were struck themselves. And, as if it had been waiting for me to accomplish my goal, the wound in my side threatens to burn me alive. On the left, Terran roars, swinging toward the wyvern and its rider as they barrel toward us with murder in their eyes. A rope of shadow flies up, wrapping around the Venon's neck as Terran banks left to avoid the hit, and I barely manage to keep my seat. Zayden pulls the venom from the wyvern's back and yanks him downward, right into the dagger he holds in his outstretched hand. Damn, sometimes I forget just how beautifully lethal he is. Knowing they'll all live, I let gravity claim my body and slide from Tarn's back. Violet! I hear Zayden scream as I fall. Chapter 38. A quote from Major Frederick's Modern Guide for Healers. In the event that you come across a poison you do not recognize, it is best to treat with any and every antidote. Either way, the patient will die, but at least this way, you would have learned something. I think I might die today. Air rushes by, and my stomach feels like it's somewhere above me, because I'm falling, endlessly falling. Terran roars, and it's the panic, the pitch of that bellow that forces my eyes open just long enough to see him diving for me. But I can't feel him in my head, can't feel my feet on the archive's floor, can't access my power. I'm cut off, no longer grounded. My back slams into something, knocking the breath from my lungs, slowing my descent but not stopping it. And shimmering gold rises and ebbs around me. Wind stills, the cries of mayhem and destruction pause, but the burn inside rages on, consuming me with fiery teeth. Time. And Darna has stopped time with what strength she has left. I'm on her back, falling, because she isn't strong enough to carry me, but she's brave enough to fly into this battle. Now my eyes are burning too. She shouldn't be here. She should be tucked away in the outpost, safe from the wyvern three times her size. Are there any wyvern left? Did we get them all? When time starts again, wind whipping at my exposed skin, I slip from her back and am gathered close by strong human arms. Violet! I know that deep, panicked voice. Zayden. But I can't move. Can't even force my lips apart to scream with the pain of it all when he puts pressure on the wound. Fuck! It must be poison. You have to fight it. Poison. The green-tipped dagger. But what poison could paralyze me not only physically, but magically? I'll take care of you. Just live. Please, live. Of course he wants me to live. I'm integral to his survival. It takes all my strength, but I manage to lift my eyelids for a second, and the blatant fear in his eyes jolts my heart before I lose consciousness. Maybe it isn't poison, someone says in a deep voice as I wake, but can't pry my eyes open. Garrick, maybe? Gods, everything hurts. Maybe it's magic. Did you see the way she whipped that lightning straight at the Venon's head? Someone asks. Not now, Bodhi practically growls. She saved your fucking life. She saved all our lives. But I didn't. Soleil and Liam are dead. Her blood is fucking black, Zayden snaps and his arms tighten, holding me to his chest. It has to be poison, Imogen cries, A sound I've never heard from her. Look at it! We have to get her back to Besgaeth. Nolan might be able to help.
Yes, Nolan. They need to take me to Nolan. But I can't say it. Can't make my lips move. Can't even reach out along the mental pathways that have become as familiar to me as breathing. Being cut off from Terran, from Andarna, from Zaydin, is a torture all on its own.
That's a 12-hour flight, Zayden's voice rises, and I'm pretty sure her arm is broken.
I'll be dead in 12 hours. The promise of sweet oblivion already hovers at the edge of my consciousness, a promise of peace if I agree to just let go.
They're somewhere closer, Zayden says quietly, and I feel his fingers skim over my cheek. The motion is unnervingly tender. Another wave of fire consumes me, singeing every nerve, but all I can do is lie there and take it.
Make it stop, gods, make it stop.
You can't be serious. Someone's voice lowers to a hiss. You'll put everything at risk. Garrick warns as sleep tugs at me, the only escape from the searing pain. Tarn bellows so loudly my ribcage vibrates. At least he's close.
I wouldn't say that again, Imogen mutters, or he'll probably eat you. And don't forget, if she dies, there's a damn good chance Zayden does too.
I'm not saying he shouldn't. Just reminding him what the stakes are, Garrick replies.
Can Tarn feel the disconnect between us? Is he suffering the same way I am? Was the sword poison too? Can Andarna fly, or does she need to sleep? Sleep. That's what I want. Cool, blissful, empty sleep.
I don't give a fuck what happens to me, Zayden yells at someone. We are going, and that's an order. No need for orders, man. We'll save her.
That's Bodhi, I think.
Live up to your nickname and fight this violence, Zayden whispers against my ear. Then he says louder to someone farther away. We have to get her to him. We ride.
I feel the shift as he begins to walk, but the agony of movement against the wound is too much, and I fade into blackness. Hours pass before I wake again. Maybe seconds. Maybe days. Maybe it's forever, and I've been sentenced to an eternity of torture by Malik for my sheer recklessness. But I can't bring myself to regret saving them. Maybe it's better if I die. But then, Zayden might die. Whatever is wedged between us right now, I don't want him dead. I'll never want that. A steady rush of wind at my face and the rhythmic beat of wings tells me we're flying. And it takes all the energy I have to lift a single eyelid as we pass over the cliffs of Draelor. The 1,000-foot drop is unmistakable. It's what made the Tirish Rebellion not only possible but nearly successful. The poison scorches every vein, every nerve ending in my body as it runs through me unchecked, slowing my heartbeat. Even the irony that I'm going to die by poison, something I have unparalleled knowledge of, can't make me muster the energy to speak, to offer any thoughts on an antidote. How can I, when I don't even know what's been used on me? Until a few hours ago, I didn't even know Venon existed outside fables. And now, there's nothing but pain and death. It's only a matter of time. And mine is short. Death would be preferable to existing for another second in this pyre of a body, but it's apparently a mercy I'm not allowed as I'm jostled awake. Air. There's not enough air. My lungs struggle to inhale.
You're sure about this? Imogen asks.
Each step, Zayden takes, brings a new wave of agony that starts in my side and ripples through my whole body.
Stop fucking asking him that, Garrick snaps. He made his decision. Support him or get the fuck out, Imogen. And it's a bad one, another man retorts. When you have 107 scars on your back, then you get to make the fucking decisions, Kieran, Bodhi snarls. Tarn's roar startles me and I twitch, which only intensifies the already indescribable torture racking my body now.
What was that?
Garrick asks from somewhere to the left. He basically said that he'll cook me alive if I fail, Zayden replies, holding me closer. I guess that part of the bond is still in place. My cheek falls against his shoulder, and I swear I feel him brush a kiss over my forehead. But that can't be right. You don't keep secrets from someone you care about, let alone secrets that are going to cost me my life any second if the stuttering beat of my heart is any indication. It's struggling to pump the liquid fire that's cauterizing my veins. Gods, I wish he'd just let me die. I deserve it. I'm the reason Liam is dead. I'm so weak-minded that I didn't even realize Dane took my memories and used them against me. Against Liam.
You have to fight, Vi, Zayden whispers against my forehead as we move. You can hate me all you want when you wake up. You can scream, hit, throw your fucking daggers at me for all I care, but you have to live. You can't make me fall for you and then die. None of this is worth it without you.
He sounds so sincere that I almost believe him, which is exactly what got me into this situation in the first place.
Zayden?
A familiar voice calls out, but I can't place it. Bodhi, maybe? One of the second years? So many strangers. And no friends. Liam is dead.
You have to save her.
Chapter 39, Zayden. From the last words of Fen Ryerson, redacted. You're all cowards. She'll be all right. Zagael's voice is gentler than she's ever deigned to use with me. Then again, she didn't choose me because I needed coddling. She chose me for the scars on my back and the simple fact that I am the grandson of her second rider, the one who didn't make it through the quadrant. You don't know that she'll be all right. No one does. It's been 3 fucking days and Violet hasn't woken up. 3 never-ending days I've spent in this armchair, walking a knife's edge between sanity and madness, studying every rise and fall of her chest just to be sure she's still breathing. My lungs only fill when hers do, and the time between my heartbeats is filled with sharp, all-consuming fear. She's never looked fragile to me, but she does now. Lying in the middle of my bed, her lips pale and chapped, the ends of her hair duller than their usual blade-like hue. For 3 days, everything about her has felt as though the life was leached from her body, only a shadow of her soul left beneath her skin. But today, at least, the morning light shows her cheeks have a little more color along the darker line of her flight goggles than yesterday. I'm a fucking fool. I should have left her at Basgaiath. Or sent her with Atos, even if it strained Sigael and Tarn. She never should have suffered the punishment Colonel Atos delivered, for a crime she didn't even know I was committing, didn't even suspect. I run a hand through my hair. She wasn't the only one who suffered. Liam would be alive. Liam. Guilt pairs with soul-sucking grief, and I can barely inhale around the pain in my chest. I'd ordered my foster brother to keep her safe, and that order got him killed. His death is on me. I should have known what was waiting for us at Athbeen. You should have told her about the Venon. I waited for you to impart the information, and now she's suffering. Tarn growls. The dragon is the living, fire-breathing embodiment of my shame. But at least the bond that links the 4 of us is still in place, even if he can't communicate with her, which means Violet's alive. He can yell at me all he wants as long as her heart's beating. I should have done a lot of things differently. What I shouldn't have done was fought my feelings for her. I should have grabbed onto her after that first kiss the way I wanted and kept her at my side. Should have let her all the way in. My eyelids scratch like sandpaper each time I blink, but I'm fighting sleep with every bone in my body. Sleep is where I hear her heartbreaking scream, hear her cry that Liam died, hear her call me a fucking traitor over and over. She can't die, and not just because there's a chance I won't survive. She can't die because I know I can't live without her, even if I do. Somewhere between the shock of our attraction at the top of that turret to realizing she risked her own life by giving up a boot for someone else on the parapet that first day, to her throwing those daggers at my head under the oak tree, I wavered. I should have realized the danger of getting too close the first time I put her on her back and showed her how easily she could kill me on the mat, a vulnerability I've allowed no one else. But I brushed it off as an undeniable attraction to a uniquely beautiful woman. When I watched her conquer the gauntlet, then defend Andarna at threshing, I stumbled, stunned by both her cunning and her sense of honor. When I burst into her room and found Orin's treacherous hand at her throat, the rage that made it so easy to kill all six of them without batting an eye should have told me I was headed for a cliff. And when she smiled at me, after mastering her shield in mere minutes, her face lighting up as the snow fell around us, I fucking fell. We hadn't even kissed, and I fell. Or maybe it was when she threw her knives at Barlow, or when jealousy ate me alive seeing Atos kiss the mouth I'd dreamed about countless times. Looking back, there were 1,000 tiny moments that pulled me over the edge for the woman asleep in the bed I always pictured her in. And I never told her. Not until she was delirious with poison. Why? Because I was scared to give her power over me when she already held it all? Because she's Lilith Sorengale's daughter? Because she kept giving Atos second and third chances? No. Because I couldn't give her those words without being totally, completely honest with her. And after the way she looked at me at the lake, the utter betrayal. The rustle of sheets makes my gaze whip to her face, and I take my first full breath since she fell from Taryn's back. Her eyes are open. You're awake. My voice sounds like it's been dragged across gravel when I thought it had only been my heart. I stagger to my feet and take the 2 steps that separate me from her bedside. She's awake. She's alive. She's smiling? That must be a trick of the light. This woman likely wants to set me on fire. Can I check your side? The mattress depresses slightly as I sit near her hip. She nods and stretches her arms up like a cat who's been napping in the sun before reaching for the blankets. Drawing back the covers, I untie the robe covering the short nightdress I changed her into that first evening and slowly lift the hem above the silken skin of her hip, preparing myself for the black tendrils that discolored her veins during the flight but receded slowly since we arrived. There's nothing. Just a thin silver line an inch above her hip bone. Air gushes from my lungs in relief. Miraculous.
What's miraculous?
She croaks, looking down at her new scar. Shit, I would be a horrible healer. Water. My hand shakes with exhaustion or relief, I don't even care which, as I pour a glass from the pitcher on my bedside table. You must be parched. She pushes herself to sit, then takes the glass, drinking the entire thing down.
Thanks.
You are... I set the empty glass on the nightstand and then turn back to her, gazing into the hazel eyes that have haunted me since parapet. You are miraculous, I finish in a whisper. I was fucking terrified, Violet. There aren't adequate words.
I'm fine, Zayden,
she says softly, her hand rising to rest above my pounding heart. I thought I was going to lose you. The confession comes out strangled, and maybe it's pushing my luck after all I've put her through, but I can't keep from leaning forward and brushing my lips over her forehead, then her temple. Gods,
I'd kiss her forever if I thought it would keep the coming argument at bay. Keep us in this one pristine moment where I can actually believe that everything might be all right between us. That I haven't irrevocably fucked up the best thing that's ever happened to me.
You aren't going to lose me.
She gives me a puzzled look, smiling like I've said something peculiar. Then she leans in and kisses me. She still wants me. The revelation makes my heart fucking sore. I take the kiss deeper, swiping my tongue over her soft lower lip and gently sucking on the tender curve. It's all it takes for need to flood my system, hot and demanding. It's always like this between us. The slightest spark sets off a wildfire that consumes every thought that isn't related to how many ways I can make her moan. We'll have a lifetime of these moments ahead of us when I can strip her down to her skin and worship every curve and hollow of her body. But this isn't one of them, not when she's barely been awake for 5 minutes. I draw back, slowly releasing her mouth. I'll make it up to you, I promise, holding her delicate hands between my rough ones. I'm not saying we won't fight, or you won't want to throw those daggers at me when I'm inevitably an ass, but I swear I will always strive to do better.
Make what up to me?
She pulls away with an inquisitive smile. I blink as my brow furrows. Has she lost her memories? How much do you remember? By the time we got you here, the poison spread to your brain, and her eyes flare, and something shifts. Something that sinks my stomach like a rock as she tugs her hands from mine. She glances away, and her eyes glaze in that way that tells me she's checking in with her dragons. Don't panic, everything is fine. And Darna isn't quite the same, but she's her. She's fucking huge now, but I'm not about to say that to Violet. Her gift is also gone, according to Tern, but there's plenty of time to share that news. Instead, I say, the healer told me he isn't sure what lasting effects the poison might have, because it was something he's never seen, and no one really knows how long it will take to get your memories back if there's any lasting damage. But I'll tell you. She throws up her hand and looks around the room, as if noticing where we are for the first time, then scrambles backward out of bed, pulling her robe closed. The look in her eyes puts a vice around my chest as she stumbles to the large windows that line my bedchamber. The windows that look out over the mountain this fortress is built upon, down to the valley below, and its line of charred trees marking where the earth was scorched all the way to stone, and the quiet town, which used to be a city, of Arisha beneath us. The town we've worked our asses off to rebuild from a pile of cinder and ruins. Violet, I keep my shields up, trying to respect her privacy as I walk to her side. But gods, I need to know what she's thinking. Her eyes widen as her gaze sweeps over the town, each structure with its identical green roofs, then pauses on the Temple of Amari, which was the most noted landmark besides our library.
Where are we? And don't you dare lie to me, she says. Not again.
Not again. You remember?
I remember.
Thank gods, I murmur, shoving my hand into my hair. It's a good thing, proving that she's truly healed, but fuck.
Where are we?
She bites out every word, her eyes narrowing on me.
Say it.
The way you're looking at me says you already know. There's no way this brilliant woman doesn't recognize that temple.
This looks like Arisha. She gestures to the window. There's only one temple with those particular columns. I've seen the drawings.
Yes, brilliant fucking woman.
Arisha was burned to the ground. I've seen those drawings too, the ones the scribes brought back for the public notices. My mother told me she saw the embers with her own eyes, so where are we?
Her voice rises. Arisha. It feels incredibly freeing to tell her the truth.
Rebuilt or never burned?
She turns her back on me. In the process of rebuilding.
Why haven't I read about this?
I start to tell her, but she holds up a hand, and I wait. It only takes her a minute to work it out, too. She points to my rebellion relic and says,
Melgrin can't see the outcome when more than three of you are together. That's why you're not allowed to assemble.
I can't help it. I smile. This brilliant fucking woman is mine. Or was mine. Will be mine again if I have anything to say about it. Which I probably don't. I sigh, losing the smile immediately. Fuck. No, I'm not giving up until she tells me to. Things might be complicated, but so are both of us. That, and we're not big enough to warrant the attention of the scribes anymore. We're not hidden. We're just not advertising our existence. Which is also the reason this place is still technically mine. Nobles weren't exactly eager to throw their money at a scorched city or be taxed on unusable land. Eventually, they'll notice. Eventually, I'll lose it. Then I'll lose my head. You can know whatever you want. Just ask. She stiffens.
Tell me one thing right now.
Anything.
Is...
Her shoulders stutter as she inhales.
Is Liam really dead?
Liam. A fresh stab of sorrow pierces my ribs. Heartbeats pass in silence as I try to find the right words, but there aren't any. So I take from my pocket the palm-sized, freshly finished carving of Andarna Liam had been working on. She turns in my direction, her gaze immediately locking on the figurine, and her eyes water.
It's my fault?
No, it's mine. If I had just told you everything sooner, you would have been prepared. You probably would have schooled us all on how to kill them. My soul breaks all over again when she swipes at twin tears with the backs of her hands. I set the carving in her hand. I know I should have, but I couldn't bear to burn it. We laid him to rest yesterday. Well, the others did. I haven't left this room since we got here. Our gazes collide, and it's all I can do not to reach for her. But I know I'm the last place she'll seek comfort. I haven't left you.
Well, you do have a vested interest in my survival,
she quips with a watery, sarcastic smile.
Give me a second to get dressed, and then we'll talk.
Kicking me out of my own room. I reach for that sarcastic, teasing tone that used to be so easy when it came to her, and back away. New one.
Now, Ryerson.
I can't keep from wincing. She never uses my last name. Maybe it's because she doesn't like to remember that I'm Fen Ryerson's son and all my father cost her, but I've always been Zayden to her. The loss feels like a bottomless abyss, like a death blow. Bathing chamber is through there. I point to the far wall and stride for the exit, swinging my sword over my back on the way out. My cousin is leaned up against the wall talking to Garrick, who's boasting a new 6-inch scar from temple to jaw. But they both fall silent as I shut my door behind me. They tense, and Garrick stands to his full height. She's awake. Thank Amari, Bodhi says, his shoulders sagging. His arm is still in a sling, recovering from the four places Avenin fractured it. She's going to have to choose. I look at Garrick, noting the worry in his eyes. He's already told me he thinks she'll keep our secret. That worry is for my mental state if she doesn't forgive me for not telling her sooner. She'll either keep our secret or she won't. That's something you'll have to figure out, he replies, and then teach her how to hide it from Atos if she chooses. Any word from the flyers? Serena is alive, if that's what you're asking, Bodhi answers. So is her sister. But the rest, he shakes his head. At least they made it out, and now that Violet is awake, I can finally breathe. You figure out what that box was that Trad was drawn to back at Resin? I ask. Garrick's dragon is remarkably sensitive to runes, which allowed them to locate and retrieve the small iron box beneath the rubble of the clock tower. They're working on it right now. Hopefully we'll have an answer in the next couple of hours. I'm glad she's all right, Zayden. I'll tell the others. He nods once and heads down the hall, almost as familiar with the castle's layout as I am. Considering he spent every summer here before the apostasy or secession, as the Navarians call Dad's rebellion. Funny how people rename everything that makes them feel uncomfortable. We lost faith that our king would ever do the right thing, and they call us traitors. Bodhi wrinkles his nose. What? You smell like dragon ass. Fuck off. I chance a whiff, and can't argue. I'm using your room. I would consider it a personal favor. I extend my middle finger and head toward his room. An hour later, I'm bathed and impatient as I wait outside my room in a fresh set of leathers with Bodhi, who's doing his best to lighten my mood just like he always does. When the door opens and Violet stands there, I nearly swallow my tongue at the sight of her unbound, damp hair curling just under her breasts. I can't even articulate what it is about the strands that pushes me straight into need-to-fuck-her-now territory, and I'm too busy fighting to keep my hands at my sides to question the why of it. She exists, and I get turned on. I've come to accept that particular truth over the last year. Bodhi grins, flashing a smile that looks exactly like my aunt's used to.
Good to see you up and about, Sorengale.
Then he smacks me on the shoulder as he walks off, looking back over his shoulder.
I'll fetch the backup plan. Good luck.
Gods, I want to haul her into my arms and love her until she forgets everything except how good we are together. But I'm sure that's the last thing she'll ever want again. Come back in, she says softly, and my heart lurches. As long as you've invited me, I walk in, loathing the distrust in her eyes. Whether or not Violet will believe me, I've never lied to her, not once. I've just never been entirely truthful either. Is all this original? She asks, her gaze sweeping over my bedroom. The majority of the fortress is stone, I say as she studies the detailed arches at the ceiling, the natural lighting from the windows that consume the western wall. Stone doesn't burn. Right. I swallow hard. I think after all you've seen, the question I have to ask before I tell you everything is pretty simple. Are you in? Are you willing to fight with us? She could just as easily decide to turn us all in. She didn't know enough to condemn us, but she does now. I'm in, she nods. Relief surges through me in a rush more powerful than anything I could channel from Sigale, and I reach for her. I'm so sorry I had to keep... My words die on my tongue as she steps back, avoiding me. Not happening. A world of hurt flashes in those hazel eyes, and I fucking wither. Just because I believe you and am willing to fight with you doesn't mean I'll trust you with my heart again, and I can't be with someone I don't trust. Something in my chest crumples. I've never lied to you, Violet. Not once. I never will. She walks over to the window and looks down, then slowly turns back to me. It's not even that you kept this from me. I get it. It's the ease with which you did it. The ease with which I let you into my heart and didn't get the same in return. She shakes her head and I see it there. The love. But it's masked behind defenses I foolishly forced her to build. I love her. Of course I love her. But if I tell her now, she'll think I'm saying it for all the wrong reasons. And honestly, she'd be right. I'm not going to lose the only woman I've ever fallen for without a fight.
You're right.
I kept secrets, I admit, pressing forward again, taking step after step until I'm less than a foot from her. I palm the glass on both sides of her head, loosely caging her in, but we both know she could walk away if she wanted. But she doesn't move. It took me a long time to trust you, a long time to realize I fell for you. Someone knocks. I ignore it. Don't say that. She lifts her chin, but I don't miss the way she glances at my mouth. I fell for you. I lower my head and look straight into her gorgeous eyes. She might be rightfully pissed, but she sure as Malik isn't fickle. And you know what? You might not trust me anymore, but you still love me. Her lips part, but she doesn't deny it. I gave you my trust for free once, and once is all you get. She masks the hurt with a quick blink. Never again. Those eyes will never reflect hurt I've inflicted ever again. I fucked up by not telling you sooner, and I won't even try to justify my reasons, but now I'm trusting you with my life. With everyone's lives. I've risked it all by just bringing her here instead of taking her body back to Bazgaiath. I'll tell you anything you want to know and everything you don't. I'll spend every single day of my life earning back your trust. I'd forgotten what it felt like to be loved, really, truly loved. It had been so many years since Dad died, and Mom, not going there. But then Violet gave me those words, gave me her trust, her heart, and I remembered. I'll be damned if I don't fight to keep them.
And if it's not possible?
You still love me. It's possible. Gods, do I ache to kiss her, to remind her exactly what we are together. But I won't, not until she asks. I'm not afraid of hard work, especially not when I know just how sweet the rewards are. I would rather lose this entire war than live without you. And if that means I have to prove myself over and over, then I'll do it. You gave me your heart, and I'm keeping it. She already owns mine, even if she doesn't realize it. Her eyes widen, as if she's finally seeing the resolve in mine. It's time she knew everything. Knowing Violet, she won't stay tucked away, safe behind Bazgaiath's walls, especially not now that she knows just how corrupt those walls are. She'll fight this war at my side. There's another insistent knock at the door. Fuck, is he impatient, I mutter. You have about 20 seconds to ask a question if I know him. She blinks.
I'm still hoping that missive at Athbean was really about the war games. Do you think there's any chance we just happened to end up in the middle of a wyvern attack at that outpost?
That definitely wasn't an accident, little sister, he says from the doorway. I sigh and move to the side, watching Violet's eyes widen as she sees him standing in the doorway. Told you I knew better poison masters, I tell her softly. You weren't healed. You were mended.
Brennan?
She stares at her brother in open-mouthed shock. Brennan just grins and opens his arms. Welcome to the revolution, Violet.
The end. This is Rebecca Soler. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yaros. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold. Thank you for listening to Recorded Books.